I'd like for you to turn to John chapter 12, and I'd like to invite you to a Thanksgiving meal, just as if you were ready for another one. It may be that your time was everything you hoped it would be, that it was a time for family, it was a time for remembrance, it was a time to plant seeds of kindness, it was a time to focus on our hearts and to be grateful for the blessings that God has showered upon us. And yet there are times in which the events that we come together with other individuals can be a disappointment because not everybody understands our purpose. Not everybody understands the principles that are important to us. Not everybody understands our faith and our devotion to Jesus Christ. And there are things that sometimes even within our inner circle that our life is different and such to where not everybody understands. But it is a time in which we can point the way to God. It is a time in which we can talk about the importance of a life of thankfulness, especially when we focus on Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to continue to do this morning. Now, in John chapter 12, I will tell you that the heading of your Bible doesn't say a Thanksgiving meal. But it is a meal where Jesus is there. And is this particular account is one that is shared by other gospel writers. And when we look at it, it's quite obvious there's a message there that God wants us to grab hold of today. And I think it says something about our faith. I think it says something about our love. I think it says something about our relationship with Christ. And because that is our focus today, I think it has rich rewards for us as we look at these passages that are here in the Gospel of John. Here's how it begins in verse 1, that it gives us the setting and the place. It says, "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom He had raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with Him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray Him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' This He said, not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief, and He had the money box, and He used it to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, 'Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of My burial. For the poor you have with you always, but Me you do not have always.'" In this setting, it describes the timing for us to where it says 6 days before the Passover. This is the last Passover that Jesus would have with His disciples while He walked on the earth. This is suggesting that we're less than a week away of the events that we have sung about this morning, of what took place in Gethsemane, and what took place at Calvary, and what took place at the grave, and what took place for the resurrection, that we are within this purpose-filled week of Jesus coming and fulfilling the will of the Father. And it says that we're at Bethany, and if you remember Bethany, it's outside of Jerusalem, and it is what we understand to be the home of His dear friends, of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And in this, as He came in and around Jerusalem, it appears that He enjoyed the fellowship of their home. He enjoyed being in their presence. He enjoyed their friendship. And obviously, their occasions together were very much rich with thanksgiving toward the relationship that they had with Jesus Christ. Because we're talking about a time in which it has just been days since Lazarus has been raised from the grave. And what we learn in other settings is that even those that were the enemies of Jesus now looked at Lazarus as their enemy, because just His presence in town, just His presence in this household was a reminder of the power of Jesus Christ. was something that they could not deny. So even in their desire to put a stop to Jesus through death, it is said they also desired to put Lazarus to death because of the influence of his presence. I'll tell you, one of the things that we have is to recognize that Mark has an account very similar to this. And I want you to look over at chapter 14 of Mark and kind of put a marker right there, because we may go back and forth a little bit. But what Mark tells us is that they're actually not in the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, as is custom. But it says here in verse 3, when he was in Bethany, he was at the house of Simon the leper. And that was the host for this meal. And you know, out of everything that we know about Lazarus, what do you know about what Lazarus said? I mean, what do you know about the words of Lazarus? We know about things Martha said, and we know things about what Mary said. But do you realize we have no words, recorded words, in the Gospel of Lazarus? Now, what that suggests is that we really don't need to know what Lazarus had to say. But that doesn't mean that we would like to hear from him. Wouldn't it be fascinating to know what it was like to be in the grave and to be brought forth? Wouldn't it be fascinating to know, while we're sitting at that table, not stories like what we heard Thursday and some of the stories that's been repeated again and again and again, but to hear a story about Simon, who obviously, if he's referred to as the leper, has been healed, probably healed by Jesus, and you absolutely would not want to be in his home if he was not healed, and to hear his talk about recovery, and to hear Lazarus and what he had to say. But that's not what the occasion of this gathering is to be remembered for. What it's to be remembered for is what Mary does. And what she does in expressing her love, and what she does in expressing her faith, and what she does with anointing this oil on Jesus. And by doing that, she demonstrates a worship that is a remarkable example to us, and the example that we want to look at this morning. I want us to be reminded of what it means to express our faith, to express our love. And I think that's what Grateful Hearts does for us, is we are grateful to those people that have demonstrated faith in us and demonstrated love for us. And we are thankful. But when we talk about our lives that are dedicated to do the same thing in return, isn't it a reminder how expressing our faith is precious to all of us? Clearly, we recognize people that have made great sacrifices in our lives and perhaps showed interest to know what we would like for the holiday season. And sometimes it gets to the point to where we recognize the sacrifice and we're really reluctant to talk about what is precious to us. But those that love us, those that are committed to us, they want to do what is best for us. Mary has a gift that she wants to give to Jesus Christ. Mary has a gift that is precious to her. And even from the standpoint that we recognize it is a gift of great cost, she has recognized that Jesus means so much to her that there is no cost to compare. You know, every time Mary is mentioned in the gospel, it has something to do with the feet of Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? That when we first recognize that time in the household in Luke chapter 10, Martha was busy serving, but where was Mary? Luke said she was at the feet of Jesus hearing His teaching. In chapter 11 in this Gospel of John, if you look back at that scene before the resurrection, that when Mary came to Him in verse 32, it says she came where Jesus was and saw Him, and she fell down at His feet. Now, she gives this precious gift. This gift full of fragrance and of great value, and she anoints His feet and wipes with her hair. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, we're reminded about our relationship and the fragrance that we offer up to the things of God. where he says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." What's he talking about there? He's talking about lives that are dedicated to Christ even today are kind of like what Mary did. That the more we talk about Jesus, the more that we apply the righteous living that Jesus calls us to continue in, the more that we demonstrate a type of fragrance that others can recognize our expression of faith, in recognizing how we love Him and what we are willing to do for Him. So even today, expressing our faith through faithful service and faithful love to Him is precious to those that are believers and recognize what it means to be saved from this godless generation. Expressing our faith is pleasant to others. And sometimes we forget just what impact that we can make on those that are part of our lives. I'd say that when you look back at this event, what Mary did, it says in verse 3, "And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil." Now, you might be in the presence of somebody that has on pretty strong perfume. Does it ever feel like it kind of gets up in your throat? You might still have memories of individuals that were kind of characterized with something like brute or high karate. We're aging ourselves a little bit there, aren't we? But you know, you can just mention that phrase sometimes and somebody starts just kind of getting it, they feel it, right? They can still smell it today. You know, the picture that John paints for us is that there was no escaping what happened. That the house was filled with the smell of this valuable ointment. And you can well understand that everyone there knew what was happening because of the smell of this ointment. And just the fact that Mary anointed his feet and washed his feet with her hair off with the ointment itself, that when she left, everybody knew that something remarkable happened because they could smell it. Sometimes we tend to forget that in our life we have the opportunity to express our faith in Christ and others are well aware of it. That when you choose to honor Jesus with faithful service wherever He has put you in your scheme of living, that when you choose to honor Him, when you choose to live for Him, when you choose to treat your neighbor as you would treat yourself, that it is evident to all that there is something different about you. And the opportunity that you have when you express your faith with being loyal, that there will be times in which you will see that God has put you there and the difference that you make, somebody might say that you won't change the world with the consistent deeds that you do, but what you are is demonstrating the gift of the different life that Jesus has brought you to. And that you'll choose to love and you will choose to show kindness and you will choose to practice forgiveness. And that fragrance will be known to others that are at school. That fragrance will be known to others at your workplace. That fragrance will be known to those that are part of your family at the church. And that fragrance will be evident to all. Remember in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, there Paul reminded the church at Philippi that you need to become blameless and harmless. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. Paul says, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. You remember when Jesus said, don't put your light under a bushel? But set it up on a hill and let it shine. What was the purpose of that? Now, he's talking to some individuals that are not the most educated individuals about the law. He's not talking to individuals that are the highest on the social ladder. He's talking about individuals that are given a gift and can recognize the blessings that they have in God, and they can let their light shine and should. Why? So that others might see you expressing your faith. So that others might see you expressing your love. And to glorify God. And to glorify God. Expressing our faith, it's evident to others. But I want you to notice in this event here that is given that expressing your faith sometimes is very unclear to others. Sometimes it's perplexing to others. Sometimes it's confusing to others. Now, in this account, John tells us that while it is evident what Mary is doing, he highlights Judas. And as he highlights Judas, this is actually within a week of Jesus' death, the first time that we see words from Judas, that we actually have him speaking in the gospel record. And what he says is of significance here, verse 5, he says, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" And that seems like a fair question. If you go in and you look at Matthew's account of this event and Mark's account of this event, let's look back at Mark. I asked you to mark that, so let's see what we find there. It's in verse 4 that it says, "There were some who were indignant among themselves, and they asked the same question. Why was this fragrant oil wasted?" That's a little different. Matthew says this attitude is coming from the disciples. From the disciples. Now, why would they say that? I think they still had the same thing in mind. Is they recognized the value of this special ointment that is come. It is of so value that some individuals say that just by Mary using it, it's going to impact her family life. Because, you know, when they selected individuals to marry, they kind of looked for some things of value. And some individuals that had an alabaster box full of this unique and valuable ointment, it was such value to where it's identified here by Judas saying it was worth 300 denarii. That's saying that's worth a year's of wages. You see, some collected this just like we recognize people investing in gold and silver. It was of incredible value, and there the majority of it was on the floor. Whatever wasn't on the floor was on Jesus' feet. Matthew says that she anointed his head and feet. Why wasn't it given to the poor? You know, there'll be times in which we'll make statements like that based on economics. Why did you spend on that? Why did you give in that way? Why did you reach in and just blindly give to that individual that asked of your need? And don't you recognize you've wasted your money? They won't spend that on food. They won't appreciate your gift. Why didn't you make a better use of that which you had that was of value? It's a reminder to us that there are times in which we express our faith to where we are compelled to do this because of our love as Jesus taught us to love. Hebrews 4:12, you'll remind where he says, "The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, I say that because of what John says about Judas. Did you notice what he added about Judas and his statement? He said he's a thief. What that tells us, he was a hypocrite in what he asked. That it wasn't about the poor. It was about what was in his heart, and that was he wanted money. And what that's a reminder of is that Jesus knows why we do what we do. And when we give and express our faith in realms in which other individuals challenge us and question us, there's no hiding from God our motive. And when we recognize that what we are doing is motivated on God's Word, there is no reason to hide, there is no reason to fear. We can step out and we should express our faith. Do that which we are compelled that God has given us the opportunity and sometimes the responsibility to demonstrate before others a great sacrifice, an expression of faith and love. That's what Mary did. And what Mary did was recognized by Jesus Christ as an incredible expression of faith. Now here she is, and just in what she does goes against the grain, as so many times what expression of faith does. One is just by stepping forward toward Jesus, as a woman, she ought to be serving. She ought not be doing what she's about to do. And when it comes to being a woman, the last thing you do in public is let down your hair. Well, she's going to let down her hair just as she anoints the feet of Jesus. And what she's going to do is an incredible example. Now, I want to go back to Mark 14. Here's what I really wanted you to see from Mark's account. And that is when he rebuked the disciples and he rebuked Judas. He says here in Mark's account, verse 6, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always." Verse 8, "She has done what she could." You hear that? She has done what she could. "She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." What about that? Isn't that significant? She has done what she could. Now, I want you to recognize that many of the individuals that are identified at this table have done what they could. Martha is serving. She's done what she could. Simon has opened up his home as a leper that's been healed. He has done what he should. Lazarus is in the presence and wants to continue to be close to Jesus. He has come out of the grave. And what this family has learned is that Jesus is going to the grave. I want to suggest to you that Mary knows exactly why. She don't want to see him leave. And she honors him in the most significant way that she could think of honoring him. You know why Paul said what he did in Romans 12:1? When he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Because God wants us to do what we can. And take that which He has blessed us with, take that which moves our hearts, and to honor Jesus and express our faith and love to Him, no matter what others may say. This is our worship. And this is our feeling of humility and recognizing just what Jesus is doing. Jesus is not saying don't give to the poor. That's not what He's saying at all. But what He's saying is that she recognizes what nobody else is understanding is, I'm going to the grave. I'm going to die. And 3 days later, I'm going to be raised up. And what she's doing is she is honoring my body as burial. Nicodemus and Joseph, when they place the wounded body of Jesus in the grave after they have taken Him down from being pinned to the cross, they will do what is custom. And they will anoint His body with fragrance kind of like this. But while Mary used about 12 ounces or a pound, they're going to use 75 pounds. That's what you did to kind of hide the decaying smell of the body. But there was no cost too much for the body of Jesus. And what Mary did was a memorial to her. Because it demonstrated that it was not her desire to receive praise. Just as that ointment came out of that alabaster box, she emptied herself. And she honored Jesus Christ with what was of great cost to her. How much is Jesus worth to us? How much does it mean for us to express our faith in times in which people all around us don't love Him the way we love Him? How much is it worth to us to express our love and let our light shine? When it shines, it'll be really bright because there's no other lives around us at that time that are doing much of anything to honor God, to honor His Word, to honor the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. She has done what she could. I would tell you that should make us all ask the question, am I doing what I can in expressing my faith and my love in the Savior who died for me? All right, so we're in the books. So if you want to take your song book out, John has named a song. And I know it starts with 600. And you put your finger there where you've marked it, and you turn to my song, which is number 159. It's nothing like having a projector image right in your lap, is it? You want to see what Mary saw? You want to express your faith? Do what you can in the way she did? This song here has five short verses, but three different pictures, three different images that all describe a time when our love for Christ grows weak. Is your love for Christ weak? What are you giving Him with your life? How are you honoring Him and expressing your faith and your love? The first picture we have already visited, and that's the Garden of Gethsemane. That's His agony. That's when He faced, as the Son of Man and the Son of God, the purpose that God had sent Him to earth for. And that's to die. A cruel and agonizing death. So He says, let's see Christ there. When, my love, to Christ grows weak. When for deeper faith I seek, then in thought I go to thee, Garden of Gethsemane. What do you see? I walk amid the shades while the lingering twilight fades. I see that suffering. I see that friendless one weeping and praying there alone. Scene two. We've already been there this morning, and that's to Calvary. That's to remember the purpose of the bread and the purpose of the blood is to remind us of His sacrifice and His willingness to die. When my love for man grows weak, when for stronger faith I seek, hill of Calvary I go to the scenes of fear and woe. There behold His agony suffered on the bitter tree. See His anguish, see His faith, love, triumphant, still in death. He expressed His love to us in Calvary. Now, here's the third picture. And the third picture is exactly where we sit today. The third picture is where we are in our relationship to Jesus Christ. Then to life I turn again. I've been to Gethsemane. I've been to Calvary. Now here I am. I've learned all the worth of pain. I've learned all the might that lies in a full sacrifice. Jesus deserves to be anointed as we express our faith and love to Him. Jesus deserves our worship, our praise, and our honor with our very lives. So what is it that we have to give? We have to give Him all that we are and all that we choose to be. Let us give Him our life. Let us give Him what we have and what we can. And that's our devotion and our commitment to Him. He died for us. Let us die for Him. He's living for us. Let us live for Him. Let us put off the old man and let us sacrifice Him and live satisfying the old desires no more. Let us become a child. Let us begin again. Let us be born again in belief, baptism, repenting of the old life and confessing Jesus as Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and honor and give Him our lives each and every day. Won't you let go of sin? Let us help you in your walk, in your life, in your devotion to Him. Why not today be saved? If we can help you, won't you come now while together we stand and sing?